Laurent de Wilde et pas de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ça me faisait assez marrer que ça s'appelle Do et que je m'appelle Rémi, hein. C'est tout con.
J'y avais pas fait la connexion, mais ouais.
Voilà.
Je pense que le son dit quelque chose de l'être humain.
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
Jazz interview. Pour une rencontre avec un artiste de jazz. Passez un très bon moment sur Art District.
Avec Serge Mariani.
Sur le point de commencer ma conversation avec l'invité de cette émission, je ressens quelque chose de particulier qui serait comme la possibilité de discuter avec un oiseau. Un oiseau exotique, un oiseau magique dont le chant, ce fameux ramage de la fable, est celui du jour qui renaît, celui du vent dans le feuillage aussi, courant dans le réseau des branches comme dans celui des racines et dans chaque nervure de chaque feuille, dans chaque souffle, dans le tempo du cœur. Le chant d'une âme qui a déployé ses ailes pour laisser entre elle et la terre brûlée de soleil de son enfance une distance immense, non pas pour oublier mais pour renaître ici, dans les brumes de l'antique Europe, celle du Nord, se tenant éloignée de la lumière si crue des déserts du Mexique pour se rafraîchir et s'épanouir dans le courant d'une vie nouvelle. Avant que le fil qui la relie à sa plus ancienne amie ne l'amène une fois encore jusqu'à Paris, j'avais vu cet oiseau magique étendre des ailes de tôle au-dessus d'un feu volcanique et face à un public venu plonger lui aussi dans les rouleaux d'écume de sa poésie, dans un univers où l'élan de la danse sur un fil, le saut dans l'inconnu, valent toujours mieux que le poids de l'amertume et du regret. « No será regresar » dit l'une de ses chansons. Et si le « oui » doit effacer le « non », le diluer dans l'onde éblouissante où la lumière et l'eau s'épousent pour devenir la voix, il suffit pour cela de boire à cette source qui est sainte, sacrée, divine peut-être, mais surtout celle d'une femme venue en partager la force et la fraîcheur avec nous. Bonjour Fuensanta.
Bonjour Serge.
Ça va bien ?
Ça va très bien, merci.
Alors nous sommes dans un café, précisément à la lisière du parc des Buttes-Chaumont, et nous buvons du café parce que nous en avons besoin, je crois.
Est-ce qu'on va faire tout l'interview en français ?
Bien sûr, tu n'étais pas au courant.
Oh, d'accord.
No, we can speak English too.
Maybe just we can do half and half if you want.
But be sure I don't speak Spanish.
That's a shame. Then I can leave secret messages.
Yes, you can. to the happy few, you know.
Exactly.
So, we are here to talk together, to talk about your music, and especially what you called, very funny, that a non-album you recorded in Amsterdam a few months ago. Eight of your songs together, live in Amsterdam with what you call a grand ensemble grande. You know, I can't speak Spanish.
Sounds good to me. Yes, these were actually seven of my songs, and there was also a spontaneous cover that I sang by myself, also because my parents were there that day for the first time visiting me. And this was a song that my mother loves, so I decided to sing it for her.
We can say which one it is.
Ariel es el campanario, from David Haro.
So you just said, while you recorded that and performed it in Amsterdam, your parents were there in the audience.
Yes, actually, this was my graduation concert from the Conservatory of Amsterdam. And more than anything, to me, it felt like an opportunity to put together a lot of my favorite people at once, because I played with different ensembles in the last few years since I moved to Amsterdam. I've been performing my music in quintet and in quartet and solo also, and then I realized, okay, I have two drummers that are like my best friends and I really love them. I love voices. Oh, I love all these people. So then I ended making a large ensemble just so I could have them all at the same time. Of course, musically it also made a lot of sense because these textures were already populating my brain for a while, and it was a good opportunity to have an outlet. The thing of having two drummers, it's also, it gives me a lot of possibilities to also kind of explore the more folkloric sounds I've been loving for years. And voices is also is a universe that is just the supremest instrument, you know? I mean, I don't mean to say that others are not, but yeah, and I spend a lot of time at home, sometimes multi-tracking my own voice because it's the instrument that is with me all the time, to explore sounds, to explore harmony, to understand some music. Sometimes I record it all by myself with voice because what I have, and so these sounds were, you know, very, very close to me already, and this was the opportunity to have it come alive.
And so you were born in Mexico, and connecting to what you just said before, do you have a special memory from your childhood, from the country, from the countryside, from the family, which is well, I love to sing, and I will use my voice like it's my way to express myself.
Actually, that's a very beautiful question, because I think the upbringing of being there, like where I grew up, is not, it's not the rainforest but the water forest. It's a similar, it's a mix between kind of temperate weather, plants, and also very tropical. It's very wet, but there's mountains, and it's a very exuberant nature in a way. And I had, of course, all these hours growing up just looking at the plants and things, and in a way like having this solitude also, because I didn't have people all the time around me. It's in the forest, right? So I spent a lot of time singing to myself and thinking and looking at the things. But the day I actually decided to be a singer, that was one day in particular. Like it kind of was, of course, an escalation of events, but I was singing all the time. And I didn't notice until I graduated from primary school. And then there was this silly thing that, you know, they do sometimes, like, we're gonna give nominations. We all voted, you know, the little kids. That's in Mexico, that's when you're like 12 or 11. And they give everyone chooses the girl with the most beautiful eyes, the boy that makes the most jokes, you know, things like this. And somehow they had this category that was the one who's always singing. And they gave it to me. And I was like, wow, that's true. I didn't realize. And I used to sing songs with a friend of mine in school. But anyway, teenage years, actually the friend that you mentioned that I came here to visit, she was the one who, she told me when we were like 12 or 13, oh, you like to sing, I'm going to the singing lessons with my sister and another friend. They would go, the three of them, and that was with a teacher called Lizarelli Servin, who lived also, still lives in Veracruz. And she was like, you can just come along one day and see if you like it. And I went there, and they had a very beautiful environment. They would sing in three-part harmony. They kind of taught me quickly the songs so I could join them during the class. And then also the teacher was like, okay, now you have to sing a song for us because it's your first class and we want to hear your voice. So I think I sang I Want to Hold Your Hand from the Beatles. And I just thought that sensation was the most incredible thing I had ever experienced. So my father, they were both very supportive, my parents. That was very fortunate. When they came to pick me up, I sat in the back of my father's buck. You know, he had this green buck that was falling apart all the time. And I sat in the back, and I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to be a singer for the rest of my life. It's decided.
Fuensanta, pour terminer cette partie, tu as souhaité écouter une chanson colombienne, je crois, from Colombia, and the singer is Toto Lompocina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is because I was talking about the folkloric music I have in my brain with drums and voices, and I think the music from Toto Lompocina has had a huge subconscious impact in me.
Nous avons entre-temps totalement changé d'ambiance après le café très fréquenté où nous étions pour cette première séquence avec Fuensanta Mendes. Nous voici maintenant à l'extérieur, dans le parc des Buttes Chaumont. On entend un peu les oiseaux. So back to the music. You explained, you told us in the first part how you came to sing to songs.
Mm-hmm.
and everybody can realize listening to your music and watching the videos of the non-album you recorded, like yes, that you have this choir of four women singing with you, and it's very moving. It's very important. This is the heart of everything, no? Because there is one song only with almost no music, just the voices.
Yeah, I think probably the voices and the drums are...
And the drums, yes.
...are for me actually the core of it. And in this group, maybe the non-album, that was such a... Well, I just said that because I didn't know how else to call it. I think now it's shaping differently in my brain. But then I thought, I have this music that is like an album, but... Actually, it's not an album yet, so I guess I will call it non-album, but maybe, yeah, I will say Ensemble Grande, I don't know. Yeah, I think each part of the band is, and also of the compositions, because the band are the compositions in a way. It's kind of like little organisms, like inside a cell, you know, like the voices are one organism, the horns are another organism, the drums are another organism. I really feel them like different teams inside one team, and then everyone does it together. Mm. And yeah, I think the starting point for me was the drums and the voices. And with the horns, it's just huge. It was a very special discovery too, because that became also an organism after we even now have a trio, actually, with Alistair Bain and José Suárez. But absolutely, I think the core that made this music very different from the one, or maybe not very, you know, but different than the kind of jazz quartets and quintets I had before, was the drums and the voices.
Yes, it's interesting you pronounced the word jazz music, jazz, because I wanted to ask you, can we talk about jazz maybe? Because your music is not really jazz music, of course. Maybe the very last one, the song about your, what is the title?
Apatia. Yeah.
But it's said on the with the lineup and so on, the information about the music and the videos, that it is music performed and improvised. So that is the definition of jazz music anyway. No.
Well, I would never dare to try to define jazz music, especially not when I'm being recorded. Because it's a term that kind of, in which a lot of the music that you hear actually is not written out at all. It's also because I know the people who are performing with me so well. So then I kind of, if I think the real thing here is to decide what to say and what not to say. I think this is the most important and delicate thing. Like, for example, I write music in a way in which the atmosphere of it is almost the propelling factor. Like, I'm a little bit synesthetic in my brain, I think, because I see all the time the music. But probably everyone is the same. I mean, maybe everyone experiences it like this. But for me, when writing a song, in a way, sometimes it's very much about sticking to the original universe that this song was about, and you know, then the poetry and the music have belonged together in this universe for some reason that is beyond me to understand almost, and then also the texture and the timbre and the colors. So in these cases, sometimes to define the chords, like you would do maybe with a, I don't know if the listeners are familiar with this term, but in a lead sheet, which is a song in which you write the melody and the harmony. Sometimes this wouldn't really describe the song at all, in my case. So what has been most interesting with this group was that I wrote very little information, but also tried to choose the things that actually were the essence of the music, you know, those had to be decided, and the rest really not. And because I know the people so well, kind of, for the horns, there's nothing written out, actually.
Or everything is improvised.
There's like something in the last song.
Yeah.
But the rest is like improvised.
Okay.
But I also realized that what made me so in love with some of these moments was that they made it perfect because their intuition told them, this is the absolute only way I can play this music now. So there was not interpretation, you know? The intention was the fuel for the music that they played. And I realized this is what makes it so alive.
Bien, pour terminer cette seconde partie de l'interview, Fuen Santa, qu'est-ce qu'on peut écouter? Peut-être donc No Será Regresar. Je sais pas, je l'ai mal dit encore. I pronounced it so badly that I don't know why the Spanish. No será regresar. Maybe it's better, no?
Ah, c'est parfait.
Ouais. Merci. Oui, parce qu'on n'a pas dit. We didn't. We can't tell everything about you, of course. But you have French roots in your family, yes?
Yes, from my grandparents.
Yeah. But long time ago.
Well, my grandma is still alive, so that's a present. A present time, but yeah, I mean, I never lived here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so next time you will speak more French fluently, I am sure.
Yes, we did that experiment once, but I would, but maybe for talking about feelings, it becomes a bit complicated.
And no será regresar, it's meaning we won't go back, nothing can come back, no? That's meaning about everything in the life.
More precisely, it means it won't be going back. So it's kind of after facing some disappointment or a sense of loss, then if there was a beautiful thing and then it feels a little bit broken, it won't be going back. It will have to be a new kind of beauty or strength or whatever.
Ansioso.
Voilà, on vient d'écouter No Será Regresar, interprété, écrit et composé par Fuensanta Mendes, notre invité dans cette jazz interview. Et nous allons continuer avec la dernière partie dans Jazz Interview avec Fuensanta Mendes. Alors là, c'est un mix des deux ambiances précédentes, c'est-à-dire que nous sommes à la fois dehors et à une terrasse de café. Donc il y a un peu de gens autour de nous. Et Fuensanta, I would like to begin this third and last part of the interview with a very simple question. How did you come to the upright bass playing that? Not only be a singer.
Yeah. What happened, it was that I used to be in bands already with bass players, and I always kind of liked their job, you know, like it seemed so fun. And I would go to concerts and was always a bit fascinated by that instrument because it has such a playful and influential part in the band. Kind of, it's really a teamwork instrument. Of course, everything is teamwork in music. But say, yeah, like if I would try to accompany other people with my solo, kind of in a more communist direction of the music, you know, like without just being like, this is my solo, now it's your solo, more like we're just making music together. Of course, it could be more difficult with the voice. So I already had love for the bass because it seemed so fun and it had so many different roles in a band. And at a certain point when I was like 17 or 16, I don't remember, I had vocal injuries. I had nodules. And they told me that I was not supposed to speak for 2 months and not supposed to sing for 5 months. But I was already absolutely devoted to that. So I thought like, oh, shite. Like, what am I going to do? Yeah. Like, who am I then? So, yeah, I thought, okay, I guess it's the double bass time. And
after that, you got that, you understood that you could do both singing and playing the double bass together, and it was a new era, a new horizons before you, no?
Yeah, and actually it's been like, now it feels like, okay, this is what I do, I sing and I play bass, of course.
Because it's not so often that, of course, everybody knows Esperanza Spalding, for example. I can't remember if she always sings playing the bass, but there are not so many women or men playing this instrument and singing along.
No, I think it's becoming more and more common to sing with whichever instrument you play anyhow. But yeah, I actually didn't make the decision like I'm going to sing and play bass. I couldn't sing then, and I was in one band that already had some other singers. They were also like, oh, you can just play bass now. That was really supportive of them because I could play just the stuff I had practiced by myself in that month, you know. But bass is a welcoming instrument. Maybe not technically, but musically, it's very easy to start playing. And yeah, it was like an ongoing process of singing a lot, also doing some work as a bass player. But I was always like, I think if I don't sing, I die, you know. So... at a certain point, it kind of just became the natural thing. Like, especially with my own songs, it was so obvious that I write them playing the bass. I you know, then I love the bass, you know. So, and I am a singer, so this is what happens. And also doing solo concerts was really like helped me shape, I think, togetherness in these two aspects. Like, there can be textures that go together and... Yeah, I'm really also curious to explore more of this, but it was my dream at some point to kind of, instead of being, I never felt like I would be this bass player who kind of can play everything and is in everyone's bands, and that is really awesome, but I just don't think I can, actually. Maybe I could, but it's not my purpose, and it was my dream to also just have my own thing, like where I sing and play bass, which is what I do when I'm at home.
Yeah. When you are on stage too.
Yes.
And and that's the go back to your music and yeah. the one you performed and recorded with the Ensemble Grande.
Yeah.
My only Spanish word maybe. So these are seven songs from you of you.
Yeah.
Do you think, because the song called Perspectiva, the end is really something special for me. You say at the very end of this song, something like artists, you have to go to work because people are dying. That's it?
Right.
I'm right?
Yeah.
So what is it about? So is it some political involvement or like your own rebellion facing all what's happening in your own country? All over the world, what?
I guess it was mainly fueled by the situation of my own country, but it applies to anywhere where this conflict exists. These many different poems can describe the same thing. What I mean is, art exercises the angle of choosing how to experience things because it gives you 1,000 perspectives on the same matter, on the same object. And for ourselves in our own life, also we can we have a certain event or circumstance and we experience it in a certain way that we can decide, you know? And I think art is kind of exercising that muscle of choosing how you are going to approach whatever happens to you. And in a place where there is poverty and maybe powerlessness, like in Mexico, it's like 60% of the population, I think, that is in extreme poverty. I might be wrong. If the perspective of life is, you know, earning one's bread and maybe also feeling abused by a system, it would look like an improvement to have more money and have more power. We are right? Like, if that is the one perspective, it's a kind of line you go in front or back in these two cases. There's a lot more than that, right? A lot more than money and power in a human experience. I think this can be crucial, like when they decide to take an opportunity like kidnapping, killing, raping for power or money. And if you have around yourself probably art also, which will train that muscle of having different perspectives, you could choose for a different thing. So in this sense, I say that art could save some lives, you know, because if we put it everywhere, we're also providing more perspectives in people's lives. Hell, that's how I live my life. Like, I would be so lost without it. Like, yeah, this is what I mean.
Voilà, donc c'est le moment de se dire au revoir, de se séparer pour un moment, Fuen Santa, et on va se séparer bien sûr en musique, avant de se retrouver, j'espère, bientôt aussi avec la musique. So we have to say bye-bye with music, some music you chose again, and this will be one of yours. The title is, I let you say it because it's always better, I think.
Yo te buscaba tanto.
And the meaning, we say it again, it's...
I looked for you so much.
Okay. Thank you. So we are looking for you always, and we hope you meet. We meet again very soon. And meanwhile, we have this music to share and listen to. So thank you so much, Fuen Santa, and see you very soon here or anywhere in this planet. On this planet.
Merci, Serge.
Que no duelen las alas de una paloma aplastadas por la brisa.
Yo te buscaba tanto. Yo te buscaba tanto, 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 tanto. Yo te buscaba tanto. A veces tengo esta visión donde me encuentro a mí misma vomitando descontroladamente. Hay gente alrededor.
visión donde me encuentro a mí misma bajo un sol azotador en un campo de maíz o de girasoles. Estoy suspendida sobre las plantas como en una plancha de cristal. Mis lágrimas escurren sin cesar. Es un alivio yo te buscaba tanto, tanto, tanto. Yo te buscaba tanto, 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 tanto. Yo te buscaba tanto. A veces tengo esta visión.
Laurent de Wild et pas de Wild.
Ou de Wild.
Ou de Wild.
Ou de Wild.
Ça me faisait assez marrer que ça s'appelle Do et que je m'appelle Rémi, hein, c'est tout con.
J'y avais pas fait la connexion, mais ouais.
Voilà.
Je pense que le son dit quelque chose de l'être humain.
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
Jazz interview pour une rencontre avec un artiste de jazz. Passez un très bon moment sur Art District.